Good to see all of you today, particularly those who've come from out of town to be here. Though I probably shouldn't be surprised that a party is a better draw than a session. I actually wanted to talk about the party a little bit because, like so many other things that we do here, what we do it for and what it is actually a work in progress and not at all self-evident. Role or function of that kind of activity is in the Sangha. It actually has a somewhat complicated history in Zen communities, and I thought I'd talk about that a little bit. Actually, this week, I heard from a couple different people about how they were going to Christmas parties at local churches, and how in general, how much engaged and friendlier everybody was at church than they were at the Zendo here. And that the role of the church in the community was very different than the role of the Zendo in the lives, and particularly the family lives of people who practice here. I mean, obviously, traditionally here, the church can be a center of a community that involves family and children and things like Sunday school and many kinds of ceremonies. The Jewish community, things like bar mitzvahs as well as weddings and funerals. And Buddhist centers generally don't have that role in their community, and certainly a place like this, which is more strictly a Zendo, a place for practicing meditation and not a temple, has an even more narrow range of activities. And I think in my generation, a few of the big Zen centers like San Francisco attempted to see if they could develop a kind of presence in the community analogous to the church, or more analogous to what was the role it would have in Japan. And I think those kinds of efforts met with very mixed successes. I'm not sure that, for instance, my son's generation was more likely to be raised and identify as Buddhist, right? It wasn't really a convert community where everyone in their families felt, now we've all converted to Buddhism and we're going to celebrate all our rituals and holidays as Buddhists within this Buddhist temple structure. You know, as I've said, when people ask me if I was teaching my son Zen or raising him to be a Buddhist, I used to reply, I teach him to make his bed every morning. That's the core of what this practice was that I was transmitting, but it didn't bring him to church, you know, on weekends. He wasn't raised that kind of Buddhist community to think of himself as a Buddhist. And of course, even in Japan, Zen temples have a restricted kind of function. Their connection to the community often being primarily through funerals. Although I gather also a number of Zen teachers also ran kindergartens. I believe Shinri Suzuki and even Yasutani Roshi ran kindergartens at one point. It's very hard for me to picture Yasutani running a kindergarten, you know, like this little boot camp for four-year-olds. You know? I have no idea what that was like. But I think it's just one of the ways in which the forms of the communities, the role of the temple, are in very many ways incommensurable. We're not doing what they were here, what they were doing there. But when it came to parties, there are funny ways in which Japanese models carried over into the social life of early Zen communities here. From what I hear from my friends who used to go out drinking with my Zumi Roshi, there was a kind of quality probably like, you know, the after work drinking of Japanese businessmen, that, you know, your day job is over and now you go out at night with your coworkers, all men of course, and drink yourself senseless as a way to bond and to let off steam from the day. And I think that there was that kind of quality of the partying that went on in some of these centers. In a lot of places we developed, you know, the habit of having what they used to call a no talent talent show. You know, everybody just getting up to sing a song or perform something, you know, in front of the group. This was really, you know, initially sort of consciously an extension of practice and probably most analogous to what happens in Japanese corporations where, you know, you have 1,000 people in the company auditorium and, you know, the new manager is made to get up in front of them all and sing the company song at the top of his lungs, you know, and just demonstrate wholehearted enthusiasm in his singing, right? And a kind of shameless imperviousness to embarrassment in getting up in front of a crowd. And I think that there was a lot of that in the way we used to think of the skits and songs that we performed in our parties. It was sort of a model of being free of embarrassment, of just wholeheartedness. Get up there and do it regardless of whether you could sing on key or not, right? And getting the teacher up there to do it is a kind of model of, you know, just a complete lack of embarrassment of being able to be in public like that. I think there was always also sort of an element of leftover koan study, which was often about miming and performing something. So it was a way in which you'd get up in front of everybody and just sort of do your thing, right? Now, I think that what we've tried to do over the years is become more and more conscious of the Sangha as a community in which it's important that people know and support each other and not be in a kind of situation where everyone is, the only thing they have in common is their relationship to me, right? And that the Sangha is like a wheel and I'm at the center of it and everything just points to the teacher. Part of what we've tried to develop over the years is a kind of situation where in more and more ways people look to each other and not just to me for models of what practice is. And I think especially since we've had this place and had a resident here, whether it was first Claire and then Chris and now Hope, the resident models the practice for people the way in traditional communities the teacher used to. I've known many teachers who talked about the old days where essentially the teacher lived in the community with everybody. And the teaching was watching how the teacher did stuff, right? Just watch how he or she handled themselves with what kind of poise or decorum or attention or even grace, doing all the sort of ordinary little tasks that we might otherwise do in a less than mindful fashion. But here it's more you get to see Hope with her thousand eyes and hands take care of all the things that need to be done and deal with all the people who come for the first time. And she becomes our daily model of practice. I think that when we have a party, it is also in some ways colored by the fact that many of the people who come have an additional relationship to me as patients in analysis. And so that they're patients as well as students. And that sort of sometimes seems like it might be an odd thing to do, to socialize that way. There, it's much more reminiscent of my experience as part of an analytic training community, where you would have these kinds of annual parties, and that'd be the one time you got to see your analyst outside the office, or your supervisor, or the people who are teaching the classes. And there would be this kind of opportunity to see them in real life, so to speak, right? And that was always some mixture of thrill and embarrassment and awkwardness, sometimes. You know, I'm sure some people can come see me and live in my native habitat at home and think it's too much information. They, you know, they don't want to see all of that, right? They prefer just seeing me up here or in the office. But in a way, that's also part of the practice, trying to come to terms with the real life of a teacher. I'm very happy so many people are volunteering to cook and bring dishes and things to the party. I think it's one of the ways you get to know each other, get to see what you can do, what you like, what you want to share. I do hope it becomes a way that you all get to know each other much better and in a different way. It extends it beyond some of the ordinary chit-chat that we get to engage in here. But to do it at all is in itself something of an innovation. It's yet another thing that's just a little bit different about Western Zen. So be conscious of it and see what you make of it and what you want to have come out of it all. Hope to see you all there tomorrow.
I would like to make sure I get to see them and focus on today.